Hello and welcome to episode 1280 of The Sleeper and the Bust. It is Monday, April 8th. I'm your host, Paul Sporer, joined this morning by Justin Mason. Justin, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Ready to get blinded.
Ready to get blinded by the eclipse. I was blinded by all these injuries this weekend. Did you avoid the carnage?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
I do have like one or two leagues with Strider, but nothing like in like a league where like I'm like, oh, like this is a super, super important league. Sure. I guess one of my teams, the Sleeper and the Bust head-to-head league, is devastated. Absolutely devastated by injuries. Like, I already had a bunch of injuries. Mm-hmm. And then I have both Luis Robert and I have Spencer Strider on this team.
Oof. And coming off a loss to Matty Rums.
Yeah.
Rum Diesel. So now you're 3-6-1. I'm 2-8. I'm a slow start again this year, but at least I set my lineup. So I can't blame it on that. But at least there's talent, right? It's a 14 teamer, but we don't have middle. We don't have corner. We don't have five outfielders. So you might be able to find some talent, right?
Yeah. My current bench and IL is Sonny Gray, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jordan Romano, Spencer Strider.
Well, flip Strider and Gray.
Yeah.
Gray's back. Even if you don't start him, you can at least get that IL spot.
But I'm going to need to drop Eduardo.
Yeah, you're
Rodriguez.
Up against it, bro.
Yeah.
I think Eduardo has to go.
Yeah. And well, Sonny Gray, you know, comes back this week. So that's a little bit nice. So he's going to be on a pitch count. So
he's like, only going 65.
I'm not starting him in one of my NFBC
okay.
leagues.
That was, you answered the question then.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you were starting him anywhere. Cause yeah, I think in this league, I mean, this is 14 teams. This isn't like baby shallow or anything. The roster is a little slighter. So it plays probably more like in the 12, 13 team range as a 14 teamer, because it is only three outfielders, but two utils. So he gets Philly this week, a little tune up, and then Sonny Gray goes back home to, not home, but that's where he started, goes back to Oakland and then hosts Milwaukee. So he gets a two step. I'm throwing him in next week, pretty much no matter what he does this week, unless obviously he gets hurt again or something. But even if Gray is bumpy against Philly, the at Oakland home to Milwaukee is a definite for me. And if a league's deep enough, I might even take the 65 pitches here and hope that I can get 4 or 5 innings. Like when he's at his most efficient, Sonny Gray can get you 5 innings, but it's probably going to be 4. And, you know, you're hoping that they're just solid. But he's coming back. A lot of other guys are leaving. Maybe you have Bieber or Strider in a situation where you have Gray and you can make that easy switch. That would work. But that's not the case for everybody. We are just going to talk about the carnage this week. 4 major injuries. Bieber confirmed out for the year. Strider almost certainly definitely going to miss a long period of time. We'll talk about shallow deep league replacements for those two. Trevor Story out for a while with a shoulder injury. Looked really bad. You could tell he knew right away that it was bad. We'll talk some replacements there. And then Luis Robert Jr. facing a lengthy absence with a hip flexor strain. And we will talk about replacements there. So pretty nightmarish weekend. Obviously, all the talk is around the pitching because of the two big pitchers. And then coming on the heels of the Eury Pérez injury right before that, I feel like we kind of do this every year, that we want to have this big referendum on what's going on. I don't think it's the pitch clock. I don't think injuries are exponentially higher than they've been. I think it's the velocity. I think it's always the foundational aspect is the velocity. Everyone throwing as hard as they can for as much as they can, you know, just emptying the tank and the way they're training to do that. Now you're throwing in all the spin and all that. That's adding to it a bit more. I'm not saying that the pitch clock isn't maybe exacerbating it a little bit, but you could turn the pitch clock off and the injuries wouldn't change tangibly, I don't think. What do you think about it?
I mean, I definitely think it is maybe like the straw that's breaking the camel's back at this point.
Only conversationally. Statistically, it's just not showing to be the case, even with the downturn. Again, it's because we've got three big events here. We're going to look for one thing to blame. It's the velocity.
Yeah, I think it is a combination. I mean, for sure, it's velocity. Like, guys are trying to throw harder. You look at both. Strider and Bieber, especially like Bieber went to driveline to try to throw harder this last, this off season. It worked until it didn't.
Yeah.
And then Strider, you know, added a new pitch on top of velocity. So I think, like, I say it every year when we have these injuries, like, added velocity is not always a good thing.
Well, it's a positive for success. Yeah, it does add to your injury risk, though, 100%. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. pitchers are just risky. Pitchers break. I don't think this makes me any less likely to take pitchers early. Because mid and late round ones do too. Hitters can get hurt too. We're going to talk, you know, Luis Robert is a second round type of guy, and he got hurt too. So it's not just like hitters are this super safe avenue. Pitcher injuries are higher. I'm not blind to that. I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying, like, we can't predict injuries. I'm not necessarily going to run away from them. I am glad I didn't take Strider at number one overall, though.
Isn't it interesting, though, in the year that, like, this was a year where we had, like, probably the fewest amount of first round pitchers. Yeah. We lost both of them.
Yep. Like, immediately. Strider and Cole out on April 8th. Unbelievable.
Like, it's
scary to take a pitchers early for this reason, because you lose them and it just feels, this is why, here's the thing. If you are going to take them early, just back them up. Don't make them your only thing. That's really my only, you know, takeaway from a draft standpoint. Like, you don't have to be afraid of early pitchers if you still like to maybe take that ace, because a lot of time aces work. And then they're 1 of 9 instead of 1 of 14 on your roster. And there's a lot of winning teams that have aces that they took early. You know, you can find just as many examples of it working as the injury blowups. So it's not a referendum that says, oh, you can't possibly take them early.
You can also still back win up, when though. You lose them, right?
Exactly. Like, do not quit your leagues.
The year Phil Dussault won the main event, he had gone pitcher and lost. I can't remember if it was Bauer or
DeGrom.
DeGrom.
He was known, he's known for cutting DeGrom quickly. Now, in fairness, and I don't say this to take anything away from him, he got 92 of the sickest innings possible
from
DeGrom.
Well, he also drafted Carlos Rodon in, like, the 29th round that year,
which was excellent. And again, that's not to take anything away.
It's amazing point, that
he had that ace in the 29th round. Mm-hmm. So then when he lost somebody early, and it doesn't have to be a 29th round hit. What I'm saying, though, is too many people will take, like, a Strider or a Burns early.
8 rounds.
Exactly. That's where I think the mistake comes in when you're drafting early.
Instead,
pitchers.
What you did was not take a starter until the 8th round.
Correct. I went the other way with it.
Tanner Bibee, who's, you know, amazing.
I mean, he looked great after, you know, listen, gave one away to Oakland, which was a bummer, but bounced right back. I have all the confidence in him. You know, that's an interesting rotation there with Bibee, Cutter Crawford, Yu Darvish. Shota Imanaga did not start him this week because I was scared of the Dodgers start. Well, he had 4 scoreless and then the rain came in. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's jumping right in to the rotation this week with a trip to Seattle on the docket. Kenta Maeda bounced back ish against Oakland. Really, Brent Rooker was the only thing that got him. So we'll see what's up with him. But anyway, let's talk about the two guys that are out. Obviously, you're cutting Bieber. That's in. That's all. That's easy. Were you cutting Strider this weekend, or were you waiting for a little bit more definitive news on, like, how long he's going to be out and everything? What were you doing, say, in, like, a main event situation? I know you don't have him in either of those, but 15 team mixer. No ILs. Were you cutting Strider yet?
Probably not. I just think he's too valuable to until we have a little bit more
just in case. Yep.
But
I agree.
I if somebody did, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I just can't imagine anybody did. I mean, I'll look it up.
I doubt it. Yeah, we can look big. I would think that you'd have to be in a really sticky situation where you just desperately need the spot. You've been decimated and you can't possibly hold, because that's the only way that I can really think that you'd have to cut Strider.
Yeah.
Looking at the main events. Yeah, no. Actually, excuse me. Six wow. cuts.
Only roster in 90% of leagues.
Greg cut him and he told me that he was. Yeah. My boy Greg.
It's probably the right decision. If this turns out to be like he's out for a month, then that's just going to be brutal because someone's going to drop $500 on it.
Sure.
For a month. But I think the chances that he comes back to me are like 10%. So
I don't totally even think it's that high.
Yeah, probably not.
And I think you're looking at, like, I think the 1 month thing would be, you know, the best biggest case scenario, stroke of luck ever. I think you're looking at a minimum of 2 months, and I'm just not holding the guy for 2 months going six IL slots.
Six bench spots.
Excuse me. So I understand making the jump there.
I mean, I hold him. Like, I mean, to like Spencer Strider, like, he is just such a huge difference. Like, he, with 90 innings, he could still be a top 40 starter.
Sure.
And like, imagine like adding that to your rotation. I mean, I drafted Cole knowing I had to hold on to it.
But imagine what you could be getting off the waiver wire with that spot. That's Greg's team. That's
so much Trevor overall. Williams. So much.
Yeah, you can get all sorts of Trevor Williams. But yeah, that team's in fourth overall right now for Greg. So he went aggressive with it. Yeah, big 47-point change this week, surged up the board in his league. So we'll see. But let's talk about replacements, okay? Folks obviously facing the Bieber and Strider injuries. They got to figure out what to do. Let's focus on shallow leagues first, pulling some roster rates from Fantasy Pros here to get an idea. So hopefully, you know, they're not steering me wrong here, that these guys are available in your 10s and 12s. Let's start with Tanner Houck in Boston. So far, looking pretty interesting. In fact, that Boston rotation, been talking about it now for a lot of the spring, that really stood out to me as interesting. And so far, they've all been awesome, except for Brian Bayo a little bit. I think Brian Bayo has like one bad start and one decent one. The other four guys have ERAs under one in two starts apiece. Obviously, that's remarkable.
And they don't even have their Giolito, like, who is exactly their big offseason signing. Like,
they lost him, and it didn't matter because Houck was then secured a spot. He's got 2 6-inning scoreless outings, 7 punchies at the Angels, 10 at Oakland before that. Where are we at on Tanner Houck in shallow leagues? Is he somebody that you would chase for Bieber or Strider?
Yeah, especially because he gets the Angels again on Saturday.
So. Yeah, exactly. It says 46% roster, so that's why I was like,
yeah,
that's pretty available.
I'll take that gamble right there. I'm not a big Houck guy, but like, I just think right now,
what's your aversion to him? Because he's a decent prospect. I think there's been some hype. I'm not trying to like aggro challenge you, but I'm just curious, what's your version there? Because I'm pretty intrigued by this.
I just didn't think he'd actually like stay in the rotation. I thought he was going to be like a multi-inning reliever, which is one of the ways Boston has employed him. But they're giving him an opportunity, and I think this is an opportunity he can run with, because, you know, losing Giolito for the year means like they don't have the depth that they had, like, you know, and so him and Whitlock are both gonna, like, I think, stick in this rotation for a while. And the stuff is really good if he commits and controls it consistently. So far, so good early on. I do wonder if there's going to be bumps, if he's going to struggle as the season goes on, but that is a problem for later. Like, especially in your 10s and 12s, like, don't worry about July. Don't worry about August. Like, worry about, like,
barely worry about June.
Yeah,
barely worry about June right now.
I wouldn't even worry about June.
Yep.
Like, when you're kind of churning the back end of your roster, like, just grab guys and ride with them until they fall apart. And then if they fall apart, then you go on and get the next Tanner Houck, because there will be guys like that.
Live in the here and now with stuff. The rest of the season questions, we got to abolish them. Like,
yeah,
they're kind of worthless in most formats, really.
Yeah, even in 15s, like, I'm not when I was just joking about Trevor Williams, like, he was my most picked up player this week. Like, he's not going to be on my roster next week, more than likely, you know, depending on who he goes up against. But like, hey, he's got a 2-start versus at San Francisco, at Oakland. Like,
got the Bay Area 2-step.
Yeah. That's, and it's supposed to be beautiful weather this week. We're going to
get a bad setup there for Trev.
We're going to hit 78 this week. It's going to be beautiful.
Damn. Yeah, we're up in the high 70s, low 80s. Been taking the dogs out on some walks. We already got a morning walk in today, so I'm feeling good. Let's go in-house in Cleveland here. Now, he's not the replacement, but Logan Allen has had some shallow league viability, or availability, I should say, and he's definitely out there in a decent number of leagues, off to a pretty good start. First off, they've been playing very well, so they've been supporting their pitchers nicely. He's already 2-0. You know, wasn't great against Oakland, like like Bybee, and you're like, dang it, come on, man, you're in Oakland, start off strong for me. Three runs in five innings, three strikeouts, you're like, ah, oh, that's boring. But then 6 2/3 scoreless at Seattle with six Ks for Logan Allen. Not that we were worried, by the way. So we definitely liked where he's at after two starts. Is Logan Allen somebody that you see in a shallow league situation as a pickup?
Yeah, especially because he has a two-start this week, and one of them is against the Chicago White Sox, who I don't even know who they're going to be playing at this point. They lost their best two bats in Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. It's going to be like Gavin Sheets, Yoan Moncada, and a bunch of other no-name players.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Sheets in a moment, as a potential, you know, Robert replacement there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Allen. I think he's really interesting and definitely somebody that I would pick up in a shallower format.
Yeah, he's the guy that got a little bit of added heat like towards the end of draft season, like trying to get a piece of the Guardians rotation that wasn't like super expensive. But I wish I had gotten a few more shares of Allen in some deeper leagues. But yeah, I think he's definitely a guy I'd be willing to at least stream for a little bit, especially if you are playing in a daily moves league or daily lineups league where like you can start him for this Chicago one and then drop him for the New York one, or bench him for the New York one. But even that, like I'm not super afraid of the Yankees.
You're not? I mean, I would start Logan Allen. So I want to be clear, but generally I'm not super keen on facing the Yankees.
It's not a matchup like that. It's not like the Braves. It's not like the Dodgers where
it's not that far for me. I'm a little bit more fearful of the Yankees. They got that home run power too. So if it's a home run guy specifically, again, this does not apply to Logan Allen. I would start Logan Allen in a good number of spots. I really like him. I think at 29% roster, this is a composite of ESPN and Yahoo, by the way, so that I'm pulling off of Fantasy Pros. Let me check him on our Yahoo League. I just want to see where we're at here and like how often these update, like how viable these numbers are, because 29 feels low.
I think they probably update pretty quickly.
He's 45% rostered at Yahoo. So that would mean that he's like not rostered at all at ESPN, which I guess is possible, but that feels a little light. Maybe he's not as widely available, Logan Allen. Obviously I'm still interested. Go get him. But I wonder if maybe they didn't update these composite numbers yet, because
he is 0% rostered at ESPN.
There you go. How's that possible? Did you look up the right Logan Allen?
I must have looked up the wrong Logan Allen. That
okay.
All right. There we go. He is 20% rostered at ESPN.
Okay. I don't know if it's just 20 and 49 divided by 2, but that'd be 36. So it's still a bit higher than the 29%. Okay. So then it's fine. It's viable. We'll trust these numbers within an error range of about 10 points. But even if he was 39,
there's a plus or minus right now.
Yeah, exactly. So there should still be a lot of Logan Allen availability. Sorry to bog down on that, but I like him. Do you like him more than Hauk?
No, I don't think so.
Even as a Hauk hater, that's interesting because you were just downing Hauk, and now you're big on. Is it because of the upcoming matchups or?
Yeah, part of it's the upcoming matchups.
But Allen's got two this week. I like White Sox, Yankees, and then Allen gets Oakland the week after.
Yeah, but by the time people listen to this, the White Sox one's probably gone.
Well, if you listen to it the day it comes out, but that's fair. Yeah. But then, so then he gets Yankees, Oakland would be his next two from there. That's Logan Allen.
Hauk
gets the Angels this weekend? And then Cleveland next week, which I'm still not scared of them. I know they've got the best run differential. They're on fire. I still start guys like Hauk against Cleveland pretty comfortably. Well, we're talking Yankees. Let's shift over to them. A guy we have talked about a decent bit, but he's still out there in quite a few leagues. And I wonder if some shallow leaguers might be frustrated with Luis Gil, because now two times in a row he had a chance at perhaps locking in a nice win, but this one he cost himself. The 4 2/3 at Arizona, I think, you know, they could have pushed him a little bit more. This one he kind of did himself in, 4 1/3, 95 pitches, had a few too many walks, but still looking good, missing bats. I'm still very in on Luis Gil. Just would like a win. He goes to Cleveland this weekend and then hosts Tampa Bay the following weekend. I'm in on Gil. What about you in shallower formats?
I love Luis Gil. I haven't actually even used him yet. He's just been sitting on my bench because of kind of the matchups. He's probably my favorite out of this list. He's at least my favorite out of the ones we've talked about. I think he's my favorite out of this list. I just think the upside is so great. I don't know how many innings you're going to get, and this may be, you know, a guy that moves to the bullpen at some point because they're trying to save his arm. He hasn't pitched a lot of innings over the last few years, but I just think his stuff is so, so good. And
yeah,
with that Yankees offense behind you, you're going to get opportunities to win games. I think Gil's at the top of the list for me. Especially if I'm thinking long term, or at least the next month.
Yeah, I'm all over Gil, so I'm in there too. I think he is tops. He Allen and Hauk, they're really close. It's a really, really good group there that you can look at. They might, you know, try to slow him down because, you know, obviously he hasn't pitched much at all. But he is 26, which isn't a baby, but it's not old, not a baby. It's kind of in that middle. And I don't know, man. I'm just tired of these innings management things. They don't work. So if a guy's upright, pitching well, and not showing, you know, overwhelming fatigue, I'm not saying bury him and just drop 7 innings, 100-plus pitches every time out. But I don't know that they should sideline him. Again, we will worry about that in the summer for Luis Gil.
It's also 26, and
that's what I'm saying. Like,
they don't need to bait. And I mean, unlike maybe some of these other teams, like the Yankees don't have a lot of options to turn to. Like,
not right now. Like, Will Warren, Chase Hampton could be interesting call ups, but they're kind of fill in types. I don't think they really have the upside of somebody like.
And they don't have the money. They don't have the money available because they don't want to go over the luxury tax threshold to like actually go out and get someone at the trade deadline.
Like, I think they will if it's like the real game changer.
Yeah, but like I think they probably should try to ride with him. I don't know if they will because
it depends what they look like when Cole gets back, right? Because if Cole gets back and nothing else happens, then I do think Gil does go into the swingman situation where he'll get multi-inning outings out of the bullpen or maybe even get sent out to stay on full schedule in the minors. Because you got Cortez, Rodon, Stroman, Schmidt. Now, are we sure that those four are going to be upright by the time Cole's back? Who knows? That's why we talk short-term with Gil and just worry about the here and now. And in the here and now, he's somebody I want on my team.
Yeah, he's only thrown 40 innings over the previous two seasons combined. Yeah.
Like, it's been rough.
Like that's,
he's fresh then.
So I mean,
let him pitch.
Yeah, sure. Right. I love him. I've got him on a number of teams. So
what about Seth Lugo with Houston? He faces Houston with KC. I don't love Houston, even though they're not playing very well. Like, aren't they like 2-8 or some shit? I don't love that start. I would start Lugo with Houston coming to visit him in KC. But what I really like is the two-step next week. Trip to Chicago to face the White Sox and then hosting Baltimore, which, you know, Baltimore's tough, but I'll take it in KC's park. So even if you got him right this week for Lugo and you sat him for Houston, I think you jump the two-start next week. What do you think of Seth Lugo? Where's he rank in this group that we're looking at?
Yeah, I'm not starting Seth Lugo this week versus Houston. I know that they're 3-7 and that two of their wins have come off of pretty much no hitters. offense.
Blanco to save them.
Oh, unreal, dude. Like, what a story, Ronel Blanco.
It's awesome.
It's been really, really cool. I'm not starting him this week versus Houston, even in my 15s. I'm going different directions. So,
even in your 15s?
Yeah.
Imagine having that kind of depth. Okay, no one likes a braggart.
I'm very lucky in terms of my injuries. I hate to like beat a dead horse, especially when other people are struggling with the injuries. But like, this is one of the reasons I draft so risk averse is so I don't, you know, if I
shut up,
get hit by injuries, shut up. I don't have the ones already on my team.
So, you're gonna invite the injury risk by saying that you draft.
Yeah,
you can't dodge injuries.
a knock on some wood right now, but
you can't dodge injuries.
Yeah, you can't dodge them all. But yeah, no. So I'm probably not starting Lugo this week. I just Houston just scares the crap out of me. Like you said, they're 3-7, but like they're still
it's not really the offense's dangerous. Fault.
Yeah, it's still a really really dangerous bullpen fault. It's a really yeah. really really dangerous team. So, but next week, fire them right up. I really like Lugo. I love that park. The Royals are a really really fun team right now and
playing well.
So. I think he is a guy that is definitely worth if you're thinking more about next week than this week, maybe and you're kind of trying to prepare for next week, I think Lugo is going to be one of those top pickups in those shallower leagues that you could jump on early.
Yeah, I think take a look for Lugo. He's going to be more available than some of these guys too. So if some of y'all don't have these first three available, Hauk, Allen, Heel, maybe you turn to Lugo. Shallow leagues, I won't start him against Houston. 15-teamer, I think I probably still do. It is at home. But if you can avoid it, cool. Do so, because Houston is tough. What about Max Meyer in the shallower formats? He's another one where you got to look forward because you don't want him against Atlanta this week. But I don't care what the league type is. NL only, I'm not starting him against Atlanta. But then he'll come back. Actually, will he be in the rotation next week? Braxton Garrett is due back. Is he going to take Meyer's spot or Weathers?
I think he's going to take Weather's spot right now. I mean, I guess
Cabrera's due back too. Actually, they got two guys due back. Sorry to interrupt you. Garrett and Cabrera. Would that be Weathers and Meyer or Weathers and Puck?
I mean,
Puck looks like shit.
It should be Puck and it should be Weathers. Like, those should be the two guys that lose their rotation spot. It may be Meyer just because Meyer is coming off of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
And they may want to protect him a little bit and either move him into the bullpen or send them down to the minors where they can kind of like really closely monitor his innings. So, but if we're going on like who deserves to keep the rotation spot, I think Meyer deserves to keep the rotation spot over both of those guys. And we have seen Miami in the past be more aggressive with some of their younger guys, even ones coming off injuries. So I wouldn't be surprised if Meyer's the guy that holds on to the spot, but I also wouldn't be surprised to get sent down. That being said, like you said, I'm not starting Meyer versus the Braves, but I would hold on to him to see if he gets starts next week.
Yeah, he's definitely last on this list, kind of a, you know, last resort for the shallow guys.
Not because
guys.
Of talent, but
because of situation. Because you're not using him this week, and we don't know about next week. RotoWire is projecting Garrett and Cabrera to be back next week, which might not happen either. So stay tuned to news. If you like Meyer, just stay dialed in on the news with him and figure out what's going on for your shallower formats. Okay, so Hauk, Allen, Heel, Lugo, Meyer. Is that your Heel, Hauk, Allen, Lugo, Meyer?
I think so, yeah.
I think I might be Heel.
I think Hauk and Allen. I think Hauk and Allen can be interchanged. I think
so too. Honestly, I don't think they're that far from Heel either. We love Heel.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you. I really think the three of them are pretty interchangeable. Pick your favorite between Hauk, Allen, and Heel, and I'm not going to bust you up on that. Lugo's a cut below, and then Meyer a cut below that. Deep leagues. Spencer Turnbull coming off a big outing, hosting Cincy. He looked sharp. It was on my bench. I just kind of wanted to see something. But then he was a big pickup this week in the main event format with a trip to St. Louis and then a hosting of Pittsburgh coming on the docket. Neither of those are super easy. Nice venue. Pittsburgh is at home, so it's not PNC. But you go to St. Louis, so nice venue there, but a solid lineup. And then Pittsburgh coming to visit. They're the upstart. They're a pretty solid lineup there. Not easy at Citizens Bank, but I like the two-step here. I'm starting Turnbull. Did you like him in deep formats if you're replacing Strider or Bieber?
Yeah, unfortunately for me, though, like everybody liked him a little bit more. Like,
okay.
And I understand, like, not only does he get a two-step this week, but this is a guy that you could potentially be holding on to for a little while. I don't know if I believe as much in the going to be able to hold on to him for a long period of time just because he's coming off of Tommy John surgery and he has not thrown a lot of innings in recent seasons, but he did.
Yeah, but he's a good bit older. Like what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think that they're going to downshift him.
Oh, I'm not necessarily worried about like, hey, they're not going to throw him. I don't know how long he can stay upright and effective. With having had the huge layoff, but I did get him in a couple leagues, and I think Turnbull is a guy that you should be kind of rolling with here in your deeper formats for a little bit, and maybe even some like 12 teamers. He's going to make some sense. So for me, like, yeah, like Turnbull went for $60 in I think my main. And I just, to me, I was like, I think I'd rather spend $7.
How much was he? I'm sorry.
I think 60.
Okay. For two step, I get it.
Yeah. It's in like a two step that you get to hold on to for a little while.
So yeah.
It's not just like a two step and drop. Oh no, he didn't go my main. This was one of my auctions.
$50
auctions. So went for $59. The backup did a 57, which is
so that was primo. Tight.
Yeah, yeah, primo bidding there by the guy who got him. So, but yeah, I think he was one of the top guys in terms of pickups this week in main events.
He was only available in 11 main events. It's Turnbull.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there was a lot of people that were already holding him. So he went for triple digits in four of them, mm-hmm. and then 92, 88, 79, 78, 57, 55, 46. The 46 was to our good friend Vlad Zedler with a 44 backup. So they were really tight there.
The Fab Whisper.
Two of the triple digit bids had triple digit backups, so they needed to be up there. One of them was a little out there, 105 to 55. The other was 116 to 97.
I don't think I would put triple digits on him. I guess I understand, especially if like you just lost Bieber.
If you lost Bieber or Strider, totally understand going for the it's two step. I get it.
You might be able to hold on to him for quite a while.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's triple digits this early is you better be getting a real difference maker.
It's a lot. It is definitely a lot to go for, but I guess it just depends on your situation there. And there were two other people, the two backups that went 100 on that as well with Spencer Turnbull. What about Cody Bradford? This is very short term because it's almost certain that Michael Lorenzen is going to take his spot, but he has Oakland this week. So he was picked up in 40 main events. He went triple digits in three of them, did not have aggro backups at 26, 65, and 53. He went as cheap as 5 and 8 in a couple leagues. So he really ran the gamut from $5 to $125 for Cody Bradford. Just depends on what league you were in going for that one start. I was interested, but he ended up just going a little bit too high for me. I think he was like 30 something to my 20 something backup. I was like, if I could get it, cool. Yeah, 53 actually to my 21 backup. And I was gonna try a gambit here that Greg and I were talking about. You know, I love Patrick Sandoval, right? And he bounced back nicely, but he has Tampa Bay this week, whatever, probably not gonna start that. But then next week, he's got this like really killer two-step. And we were talking about like cut him and try to bait somebody into picking him up for the at Tampa Bay, at Cincinnati two-step, and then they'll just cut him after he blows up in their face anyway. But there weren't that many guys that I was interested in, so I was like, if I can get Cody Bradford, I'll do it to try to get the Oakland start, but that was it. And I put 21 on Bradford. He went for 53, so I still have Sandoval. But what do you think of the idea of cutting somebody with an upcoming two-step that you think somebody will pick up that will be bad, like setting out a bomb?
I don't love it. I just don't think it works very often.
You don't think Sandoval would be picked up?
I mean, I think he would be picked up. I just don't know that like it's going to ever work out the way you want it to. That'd be a two-step where he just shoves.
Based on what?
I don't know. He looked better in his last one. I picked up Sandoval.
I love Sandoval. But
I picked up Sandoval for his start this week versus Tampa Bay. He looked much better in his last start.
The idea that it's like a high likelihood that he shoves at Tampa at Cincy.
No, it's not insane. It's not a high likelihood.
It's a tiny likelihood.
It's a tiny likelihood. It's the idea that it will happen to you.
No, I don't believe like every bad thing. You know, nothing good will work out for me. I thought it was an interesting gambit. I only wanted to do it if I could get
a particular guy. You have not paid attention to your own history, huh? You're stuck with me 3 days a week. Everything bad does happen to you.
No, I'm able to work around that. Well, we'll see how Sandy does. He gets Tampa Bay this week. You said you did pick him up for that, so that will be interesting. But with Bradford, did you like the Oakland start this week? Were you chasing that anywhere?
I was, but like, again, like I'm just not, this for me was a week of like, hey, I'm going to dollar, you know, bids.
And it was a quiet week.
I think I spent $27 on Ezekiel Durant.
I like that. I got an Ezekiel Durant type guy in Oliver Dunn.
Yeah. So like, I think that was my biggest bid this week was $27 on, in a missed $27 bid on Jose Abreu.
I got Jake McCarthy for 36 to 31, which felt good. And then Ivan Herrera, a little bit hot at 27 to 12, but I really like him. And, and I thought that, you know, with the Wilson Contreras injury, even if Contreras is okay, maybe they DH him a little bit, get Herrera behind the dish and dude can hit. So I went pretty aggro on that one. But 27 is not going to kill you.
No.
$27. So feel good there. Anyway, Bradford, what do you think happens though? Do you think that they're, I was talking about this in the RotoWire chat yesterday with Scott and Jeff, and just a quick moment to say our love and condolences go out to Jeff. His mother passed away. He did the show yesterday and said, you know, wanted that time away with friends to kind of, you know, not think about it for a moment. But again, I don't know if he listens or not, but he knows that we love him, care about him, and hope everything's all right there. But we were talking about Cody Bradford, and I was like, the thing of it is, if he does lose the spot to Lorenzen, I don't know that he's not fantasy viable. I think he becomes the multi-inning swing man that could put him in line for wins, perhaps like upwards of two times a week, and he's still going to get 6 to 8 innings a week type deal. I'm not saying that it's better for him fantasy to do that, but there could still be a lot of upside. I think if Bradford gets cut this week after the Oakland start because Lorenzen's coming back, that I might go jump on Bradford and kind of have him as that multi-inning swingman. What do you think about this, given the nature of innings and the guys that they have? There's going to be somebody that goes short every week, it seems like, that would give Bradford an opportunity to put up 3-4 innings, no?
Well, I think one of the other things is like, hey, is every single one of the guys other than Bradford and Lorenzen guaranteed a rotation spot?
True.
Next week. Like John Gray hasn't been amazing.
I mean, he's guaranteed unless he gets hurt, though.
But there is another guy who we have loved, or at least I have loved in the past.
Well, your buddy.
Yeah, who has 2 starts against Houston this week.
I know. Because of a scheduling quirk, because it's a carryover series.
Yeah.
He gets Fromber twice, as we talked about on Friday. That's crazy.
So, and that's, yeah, Andrew Heaney is who we're referring to. If Andrew Heaney gets blown up in these 2 starts, which could very easily happen,
wouldn't he
play really well out of the bullpen anyways?
Absolutely. Maybe he becomes that guy. But then would you have interest in him for that exact same reason?
Probably not. It's still Andrew Heaney.
I know, but if he's, I don't know. I'm kind of interested in this idea of whoever it is, more so Bradford. I like him a little bit better as the swing man, getting some leveraged opportunities to go against, to maybe snake some wins, even though they're not starting. So I don't know. Just keep an eye on it. If he does get moved out after this week, which is certainly possible, maybe don't cut him, or do if you're in my league so I can pick Cody Bradford
up. Yeah. I mean, I think here's the thing is too, like Lorenzen still needs another start. Maybe, you know, he needs another start after that. Like,
yeah, he's not guaranteed this week.
And it's not like Andrew Heaney, Nathan Eovaldi have been like the healthiest. John Gray have been the healthiest guys. Like,
of course,
this could easily get figured out here in the next 2 weeks, just because like either Heaney sucks or one of these guys gets, you know, hurt, or they could. I mean, if they move to a 6-man rotation, I wouldn't be surprised either. So
also viable.
So yeah, I would hold on to Bradford just for right now and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, unless you're in my league, cut him. Let me get at him.
Yeah,
because I wanted him. Okay, Graham Ashcraft, 2 start this week, put him on the radar for a lot of folks. Did miss some bats. Does this now 3-pitch mix? He's added a cutter, so it's sinker, slider, cutter. It is 3 pitches, but you know they're not that distinct. Is he going to finally start missing bats? Are you in on Graham Ashcraft?
Oh, I had some bids on him. Don't think I got him anywhere. He just like this is a great week to start him. He's got 2 start versus Milwaukee, which isn't necessarily an offense you're super scared of, and then he goes to Chicago to face the White Sox, who we've already talked about are missing their two best bats.
And they weren't good at all
before that. So like, you know, both him and Montas were guys that were like, I were recommending as two starts for my two start article that I do every week in Fantasy Pros. It scares the crap out of me. Like, I just, cause I think Ashcraft's one of those guys that could just like, you know, go into an outing and completely dominate, and then also go into an outing and just get completely worked. And there's no rhyme or reason to either of it. Like, he could just dominate the Brewers, who have a, you know, a pretty decent lineup.
I like the Brewers, but I'm not. Yeah, I am running Ashcraft here, though, despite the Brewers, because I want the White Sox.
But he could get crushed by the White Sox just because that's who Graham Ashcraft is.
Exactly.
It's like, so it's, it is a risk, but I think one worth taking, because especially that White Sox start is really, really juicy.
And then Alec Marsh. Now, he kind of did, you know, what you're talking about with Ashcraft, where it wouldn't even be surprising if Ashcraft like dominated Milwaukee and got crushed by the White Sox, like you said, kind of did the reverse of what we expect. That's kind of what Marsh did this past week, where he had a two-step, but the reason you really wanted it was the White Sox. So, of course, he dominated at Baltimore and then was pretty bumpy against the White Sox. Eight hits, a walk, three runs, and 4 2/3 with only three Ks. But you got that spicy win against Baltimore. So, all in all, a successful two-start week for Alec Marsh. He was a spring standout, so he started to get some buzz in deeper formats. Where do we stand on Alec Marsh? He gets a trip to the Mets this week, so you're certainly not afraid of that offense. Are you in on Marsh as a potential pickup for Bieber or Strider?
I picked up Marsh last week for the two start, and I'm just kind of holding on to him right now.
Excellent.
And I grabbed him a couple
of I'd start him this week.
Yeah, I think I'm starting him this week.
Mets are the lowest WRC plus in baseball.
Yeah, he's made some clear improvements, especially in being able to find the zone, which is important. That park really helps out in terms of limiting the home runs. I think there is more strikeout stuff than we've seen so far this year. So I like Marsh as a guy, especially in deeper leagues, that you can kind of play matchups with. I'm not going to start him every time, but I think he will be a pretty good team streamer here for the next few weeks or months.
Exactly. I think that's exactly where I'm at with Alec Marsh. You know, this Royals team has really started to cultivate some interesting starters. They got the ace with Reagans that, you know, was drafted very high. People love him. But then their other four guys are available across the different formats: Lugo, Singer, Waka, Marsh, and have different levels of appeal. I think Lugo, Waka are streamers, team streamer types in shallow leagues. Again, I'm starting them pretty consistently in deeper formats. And then Singer.
Are you starting Singer this week versus Houston?
No, I would start Lugo, but not Singer.
Yeah, and you get Alec Marsh at the Mets.
And he gets the Mets. And he and Waka, they get the Mets. Their auto starts against the Mets right now.
Yeah.
And but honestly,
I'm not starting Singer right now against Houston. I know he's looked good.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And you've been a Singer guy. So for that, it means even more when you're saying it. Let me pivot a little bit. The Lugo Recco for the shallow, flip that to Waka because they're pretty interchangeable anyway. And he gets the Mets.
I'd much rather have that.
Yeah. Go with that start and don't worry about Lugo this week, and then bounce back with Lugo next week at the White Sox home to Baltimore. If you're in the shallow league where he's pick-up-able, aka rosterable. All right. That's the pitching. It's not great out there. I do think if you're in a shallow league, there's more appealing arms for obvious reasons. It's deeper pools. I'm not stating much there. Some interesting guys this week, though, because I do think the starters kind of led the charge in the main event pickups and whatnot. And main event isn't the only type of deep league, by the way. So I know we kind of focus on that. But some of those guys, like there's kind of a middle group, too, that we probably could have gotten into that is available in some shallows and some deeps. But if you have any questions specifically, we're always available. In fact, Justin's going to be doing his chat here soon. Obviously, by the time you listen to this, his chat is over. But every Monday afternoon, he does a chat at noon Central, 1 Eastern, and you can get your weekly questions answered. And if you got pickups that you can do freely on a Monday afternoon, he's always there answering questions, which is super, super helpful after injuries with lineup setting and everything. But let's talk Story. Trevor Story out for a while with a shoulder injury. Again, it was obvious immediately. He would dove for a ball, landed awkwardly, rolling around, writhing in pain. You knew it was bad. He knew it was bad. Going to be out for some time. I think he's a pretty easy cut, although I don't know if they've said exactly what it is yet. No, they haven't. So maybe not an auto cut yet, but I'd in shallow leagues, I would cut him. In deeper leagues, maybe I'm holding to at least figure out what's what, but it says could or have a lengthy absence. Yes.
You could let me trade you Jorge Mateo for him.
Correct. You could always do that when somebody loses a story in a 30-team league. But yeah, he is on the IL, so if you're in a league with ILs, just put him there. That's easy. But in the main event universe, I think I would have cut him last night.
I think I'm holding just to see 1 week, like just to see what the injury
is. It's probably fair. It's probably prudent to just hold. But I would have maybe moved on. But let's talk replacements for him in the shallower formats. You've got somebody like a Jackson Merrill, who is an outfielder right now, so he's actually going to work for Luis Robert as well, and he is available in those shallower
formats. One game away from picking up outfield eligibility.
He'll have that outfield eligibility for you, so you can, you know, use him to replace either injury. I definitely like Jackson Merrill a decent bit. Where are you at on him as far as a shallow league pickup for the Padres?
He's been pretty impressive so far. Like
big four-hit effort yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by my overall thoughts on him from prior to the season, which is I think he's a compiler. Like, I don't think Jackson Merrill has a standout tool for fantasy necessarily, other than batting average. But in order for that to work for fantasy, you need him to play every day. Well, guess what? He's playing every day. Like he's I dropped Tommy Pham because I thought Tommy Pham was going to end up in San Diego and kind of, you know, knock Merrill back to the minors. But Merrill's playing well enough where I think he's just going to keep playing every day. Like, I don't think there's going to be a ton of home runs or a ton of stolen bases, but just enough to keep you interested and a good batting average. He's hitting .324 right now. So, and like I said, playing pretty much every day. So, yeah, I like Jackson Merrill a lot, especially if you need batting average.
Yeah. And batting average is difficult to get. I think he's going to be playing as long as he can. You know, as long as he's not totally in a crazy struggle, they need him. They're not just giving a young guy a chance. They need Jackson Merrill. He is a premium prospect. So I think he's going to get that compiling opportunity that you talk about with him. And again, it's so difficult to find batting average that even if it is a little empty and it's maybe like a light double-double, which is 10-plus homers, 10-plus steals, I'm okay with that. I really think Jackson Merrill is a good bet.
I think he's probably like a 10-10, 12-12 kind of guy, but with a good batting average. And he's walking. He's walking over 10% of the time right now, like on top of that batting average. So, like, that's got some value.
He's got good control of the plate there, does Jackson Merrill, and it's really intriguing. This guy is going to qualify for the outfield one as well, but at Yahoo, Sedane Rafaela of the Red Sox, Story's teammate, does have shortstop. So that's why I included him on this list. ESPN, he will not qualify there, but Yahoo, he will. So you can use him as a Story replacement. What do you think of Rafaela? He looks like an electric player, right? Like every time he's doing something, it's exciting, though a lot of that does come on the defensive side. Yeah. I do have some questions about his bat. What do you think about Sedane Rafaela?
So another one of these guys where I say my preseason thoughts on Rafaela kind of stick, which is there are some loud tools, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but like there's power and speed in the profile. The problem is he really struggles with swinging outside of the zone. He really struggles making in zone contact. It is on display right now where he is swinging outside of the zone almost 50% of the time, 49.3% of the time. Like, that isn't going to be sustainable. His swing strike rate is 14%. He's only making 82% in zone contact, which is actually better than I expected. I really thought he was going to be like in the 70s in zone contact. There's going to be a lot of strikeouts when he does make contact. It's going to be hard, but I think. He's one of these guys that, like, if he is going to continue to play, like, he's not going to be very close to the top of the lineup. He's going to be at the bottom of that lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how long they're going to let him just run out there if he's swinging and missing as much as he's going to. So,
I mean, he's got like an 85 WRC plus right now for Sedane Rafaela.
Yeah.
If he's in that world, I think the defense is enough to eat it. Now, that doesn't mean it's good enough for fantasy purposes, obviously.
The problem is, I think
the Red Sox would keep running him out.
I think he's going to strike out at like a 35% clip. Like,
if it's 35%, that's going to be rough because he walks single digits.
Yeah.
It's at 26 right now. If it's in that range, that's livable. But if it pushes into the mid-30s for Rafaela,
swinging outside the zone 50% of the time, like that.
He chases for sure. Like, yeah,
why is the pitcher scary. Even going to throw it into the zone for him?
You would think that would be a bad idea. Yeah,
like, he's going to need to show Javi Baez that he can level. Be patient.
Yep.
Yeah. So
right down to the excellent defense, right?
Yeah.
It's very Javi Baez-esque.
Which, like, if Javi Baez didn't have that contract, would he be playing every day?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
maybe the defense.
Most days because of the defense, but yeah, you're right. Especially last year when he was toting a 60-something WRC+.
We'd be talking about Javi Baez like we talk about Nick Ahmed.
Yes, it would be that kind of vibe, yeah. For sure. And by the way, Baez looking no better this year with a negative 22 WRC+. Who could have seen that contract not working out? Wow, so surprising. Ezekiel Tovar. I know you're not the biggest fan of his, but, you know, we're scraping the waiver wire. We got to find some things. They're finally starting to get some Rockies home games, including 3 to start this week against Arizona. 2 homers and a steal for Tovar. Is striking out a ton, though, and the swing and strike rate has jumped up to 22% to foster a 31% K rate. Is walking more than he did last year at 10%, double what he was doing last year. So I guess there's a little positive there. But what do you think of Tovar as a pickup? You know, putting aside for a moment your thoughts, not putting them aside because they color where you're at, but given what's available, is Tovar somebody that can even crack your potential pickups?
I mean, I would much rather have Jackson Merrill. Like, I mean, I get, like, people are always going to be enthused by Colorado, but they're always like, oh, he plays in Colorado. Like, they also have to play outside of Colorado, and you get that negative, like, you know, downgrade when you leave Colorado.
Colorado's not magic either.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but, like, you still have to be a good player on some level. It does not just magically make you good. It enhances you, yes, no doubt about it. But he put up a 753 OPS at home last year, Ezekiel Tovar did, right? So it's like, you got to still be able to do something. So I'm with you there. So I don't think you're particularly interested. I want to bring up another guy that I just added to the list because we've talked about him, but I didn't realize he was only 25% rostered and he's still running. I don't know. So that's why I didn't include him originally, because I didn't think Bryce Tarang was going to be that available even in shallower formats. And yet here he is, very available. And so we got to talk about him as well. Now he is 63% at Yahoo. So Yahoo, y'all are doing it right there. But ESPN, you're at 25%. What's going on over there?
And part of that is, I think that, you know, both Yahoo and ESPN caters to points leagues where the stolen bases aren't as valuable
as they maybe are for
Roto. But, like, I think Bryce Tarang should still be rostered in points leagues. Like, he's just...
I would think so.
He's making a ton of in-zone contact. He's stealing bases. He is, you know...
Ride the hot streak.
Every day. Like, just ride the hot streak right now. Like, yeah, I mean, he should be rostered in every league. Somebody asked me, and, you know, and we can loop in a guy from the deeper list, like, would I drop Tyro Estrada for Bryce Tarang and Jose Caballero or Jose Caballero? And I said, yeah, I think I would. Definitely for Tarang. I think I would. Estrada looks lost.
I was not a big Tyro guy, but I'm not ready to take my victory lap. It is still just 10 games, but I mean, with the way to, here's my concern about Tarang, though, about picking him up now, especially for somebody like Estrada, is that potential seesaw where you then get the come down of Tarang while Estrada, you know, regresses back toward the mean there. And so then you end up getting, I believe Jeff Erickson calls it whipsawed, where you don't get, I said seesaw, but I guess similar concept, but where you don't get any of the goodness then. Are you worried about that? Like a 192 BABIP for Tyro, he's going to be fine. Yes, he's striking out a ton. That's probably your biggest concern. 33% K rate, 16% swing and strike.
He just looks lost at the plate.
Yeah.
Like, he just,
it,
like,
does not look good at all.
Yeah. It's for me, it's for me, the numbers or whatever, like, it just, the way he looks at the plate looks like a guy who's, and he's a bad defender too. So, you know, they're starting Nick Ahmed at shortstop just to improve that defense. So, if Tyro's a bad defender and he's struggling at the plate, I just worry he's going to lose his job at some point.
I would cut Tyro in a shallower format. In the main event format, I think I'm still going to ride it out for a bit. but I would go for Terang. I will ride the hot streak with Terang. I know it's going to come down to earth, but even when it does, he should still be getting bags whenever he's on, because he's running wild right now. And so, yes, the 474 BABIP will come down, no crap.
Absolutely.
But even if he's hitting 230 with a 320 OBP, dude's running. And those bags are great, especially in roto. Now, in points, a little bit different. You maybe cut him quicker there when the come down happens. But for now, he's just got to be rostered over at those ESPN leagues, only 25% rostered. And then Oswaldo Cabrera does not have shortstop everywhere, but he does have it again over at Yahoo. So I included him here. And he'll be, let's kind of like bring him in on the Robert situation that we're going to get into as well, since he is outfield eligible right now. And he's going to get the third base this week.
Yeah.
So
probably tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go with Cabrera. If you're picking him up for Strider or for Story or Robert, we talked about him last week because he was a fast starter. You had a fine week this week. Are you still in on him? Do you like Oswaldo Cabrera as a potential shortstop fill-in at Yahoo?
Yeah. I mean, I think the batting average is definitely going to come down, but I think he's going to play regularly for right now, at least until DJ LeMahieu comes back. And like I mentioned last week, like, DJ LeMahieu doesn't need to be an everyday starter. They can just make him a utility infielder when he comes back if Cabrera continues to hit. He's making amazing in-zone contact, 93% right now. So that's elite. So,
and Oswaldo can be a super util, giving everyone a breather as well. So like, I still see avenues for Oswaldo to play, even if DJ LeMahieu comes back healthy and they insert him into the lineup. I don't think it cuts Cabrera out of the picture if he's playing well. So I've made my piece about him. I love Oswaldo. I'm really in. Jackson Merrill's the clear runaway here.
Yeah.
Where do you, and then Terang, I think we want to ride that hot streak.
I think Terang's number one for me, just because I think that speed is game changing.
Okay.
And then it's Jackson Merrill, then Cabrera, then Tovar. You know what? I'm going to go Tovar, then Cabrera, then Rafael, just because I know Tovar is going to continue to play.
Tovar. I'm still going to go Cabrera, but then Tovar and then Rafael is the easy last.
Because we're talking about in deeper leagues, like plate appearances are king. So for me, like I know, like even striking out.
Well, Tovar's already rostered in deep leagues, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why this is the shallow.
Right. In shallow leagues, I'll go with Cabrera.
Go with the hot hand in the shallow leagues, and then we figure out what's going on in a couple weeks. Now, deep leagues, Caballero, you already mentioned him, Tampa Bay. Blaise Alexander coming in for Geraldo Perdomo, who's out for a month. And then David Hamilton, Hook'em Horns, going to get some PT for the Red Sox with Story out. What do you like there when you're trying to replace Story in the deeper formats?
I mean, Caballero, if he's available, like that to me, like he seems like he's got the everyday playing time in Tampa Bay for right now. His defense is great. He steals bases. I do worry that once Taylor Wallace comes back, that maybe he loses some of that playing time, but that's
it. And you had mentioned that last week. Yep.
Yeah. But that's a discussion for, you know, a few weeks or maybe even a month down the line. So I think for right now, Caballero is the dude. Blaise Alexander is interesting. The problem is he, again, is another compiler. Now he's going to compile while
at least a month, right?
Yeah. Probably longer than a month, my guess. So I think that Alexander is interesting in deeper leagues, and he was one of the most picked up players in main events this week.
Yes, he was.
But if you're looking for just like a little flash, a guy that could just like go freaking crazy, David Hamilton has insane stolen base numbers.
He could go Terang style.
He could make Terang look slow. David Hamilton is like famous. I mean, one for just the amount of stolen bases he stole in the minor leagues in 2023. Stole 59 bases between AAA and a couple in the majors. He stole 70 in 2022.
70 for 78 that year, too.
And he is the guy that, like, when you sort by stolen bases in the Steamer 600 every year, is, like, leading the major leagues in stolen bases, because they automatically just give you 600 plate appearances and say, this is what he would do if he got that opportunity. He might have the opportunity now. And so David Hamilton is a guy like, yeah, I would throw a couple bucks on and go like, hey, let's see what happens. Cause all of a sudden, if you could just fall into 50 stolen bases, that would be insane.
And doesn't totally get the bat knocked out of his hand either. Already has a homer. Had double-digit homers last year. So, you know, kind of interesting there.
He's a double-digit walk guy all throughout the minor leagues. Like,
exactly. Yeah, I like Hamilton. If I'd had a spot, I'd have been more interested in him yesterday, but I just really didn't. He's actually still available in at least one of my mains. Oh, wow, he didn't get picked up in any mains. That's kind of interesting to me.
I'm a little surprised he didn't.
He's 0%.
I kind of wish I had. So maybe he could just have a quiet first week. And
that's the thing, because if he pops off this week, there goes the price. If he steals
5 bases this week, we're screwed.
Yeah, it's game over there. But no, he's intriguing. I think the reason that people were cautious is we don't know what kind of playing time David Hamilton's going to get. He played one of the weekend games. There were two. He's a lefty. So he'd be on the strong side with Pablo Reyes. So I'm really surprised that it was 0%. That stuns me. I thought I was going to see at least a handful of pickups there for David Hamilton, but nope, none. Wow. He's on my radar for sure in the deeper formats if I'm replacing Story. It's an in-house replacement too. But between Caballero, Alexander, and Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, is that the order that you have them?
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, I might put Hamilton above Alexander, only because the upside is just so great if things were to work out. But I think, again, plate appearances are king. Blaze Alexander is going to have the plate appearances for the next month.
I think that's, and then in the deeper leagues, that's why I'm going to lean that way. But I'm excited by Hamilton's upside too. And again, former Longhorn does add to my bias a little bit there. I want to get that on the table just so you guys know where I'm coming from there, but I do like him. All right, Luis Robert Jr., let's finish up with him. We talked about Merrill. We talked about Oswaldo Cabrera. MJ Melendez in shallow leagues. He's popping off. He's blasting right now, looking nice. Lower roster than I thought. I was actually kind of surprised, only 15% over at ESPN. And, part of that is that it's not 5 outfielder leagues. He doesn't really have catcher eligibility at ESPN. I shouldn't say
He does it at Yahoo, though.
And thus, he's going to have a higher roster rate. He's 71%. So not nearly as available. So we're really kind of narrow. I agree. But we're kind of narrow focusing ESPN here. But check your Yahoo. Never assume. Melendez, what do you think about him as the replacement for your Robert shares if he got hurt for you?
Love it. I think Melendez is one of those guys that people kind of discounted a little bit too much in drafts because he lost the catcher eligibility and he had some struggles last year. But he's just a really good bat in the middle of a much improved lineup in Kansas City. And he's showing kind of what he can do. And I think this is one of those guys you can pick up and probably hold for a while.
I do too. I'm actually really excited about him. He was somebody that was on my board. I didn't get a ton of him. I'm not trying to come around and be like, I was super in now that he has 3 homers, but I wasn't out because he didn't have the catcher eligibility. It was one of these things where it's like, this guy's still 25. He's shown some intriguing skills in his first 2 years. If MJ Melendez took a big breakout this year, I would not be at all surprised. Been a league average hitter for about 1,100 plate appearances as a major leaguer going into your age 25 season. That's kind of ripe for a potential breakout. I know you've been hot on this Royals team. If he was a big part of that and he became, a real plus hitter, we just wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. And so, DH and outfield capability, not really going to catch it at all. I don't even think a Perez injury would necessarily get him back behind the dish. So throw away that pipe dream. But at Yahoo, he already qualifies, so you can still get some of that goodness. What about our boy Brenton Doyle, who we've talked about in the deep league situations, but now he's fully rostered at the main event. So now we kind of flip to the shallow formats for Brenton Doyle. Does he give some intrigue there, especially, like I said, with the Rockies starting to get some home games? They got a 3-game set this week against Arizona at home. Are you in on Doyle for a shallow format?
For a shallow format, probably not. He's still striking out a 35% clip, not really walking. Mm-hmm. I guess if you can just stream him for the home starts, I guess I would take the gamble, but I think it's a lot more difficult in shallow leagues to kind of do that because you tend to not to have a ton of bench spots. So I'm probably more interested in a guy who's going to be playing more regularly that you can use more regularly than you would.
Yeah. Playing in your roster. Leagues.
Yeah.
Brenton Doyle plays every day. It's just that you don't always want it. in the shallower formats, especially when you're talking three outfielder, like it's tough. When they finally start to get those like full weeks at Coors, then you take a look. I know that's a bit obvious, but I'm just saying, like, that's when I think he would find some shallow league viability for me. But until then, I don't know. By the way, I'm looking and I don't want to assume like our listeners are like, they're all playing in the toughest leagues or whatever. I'm not like an arrogant asshole about it. But I didn't bring up some of these guys because I was like, oh, they're not going to be available. But I look at ESPN and I see like Tyrone O'Neill's 43%, Jaren Duran's 41%, Taylor Ward's 28%. So
grab all those guys over these guys. Like,
absolutely. If these types of guys are available, I didn't include them because I just don't know how available they're going to be in the leagues of our listeners. But I don't want to assume. So as I'm looking at this board, I wish I'd have put some of these other names here.
These Jaren Duran 1, precedent. Tyler O'Neill 2, Taylor Ward 3.
Yeah, I think I go O'Neill, Duran, Ward, but either like any of them, all of the guys that we're talking here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then let's go into the deeper leagues that I do have more familiarity with, so I do know who's available. And let's start with Will Brennan. He's the strong side platoon DH in Cleveland, which actually kind of annoys me because I want to see David Fry get more PT and Brennan's preventing him from it, but Brennan's playing well too. So, you know, shouts to him. He's not taking the time and not making the best of it, but he is kind of an empty average with a little bit of speed type guy. 296 average so far, two steals, doesn't strike out, you know, just heavy contact, could maybe get some runs as well. Is Will Brennan, I mean, he's not going to be a great replacement for Robert. It's going to be hard to replace his skills.
Yeah.
But what do you think of Will Brennan, excuse me.
He's a boring accumulator and he's a platoon player, so he's not going to accumulate the way you necessarily would like him to. Eventually, they're going to bring up what's his name?
Chase DeLauder.
Chase DeLauder. Brennan, like, to me, like he was on my list as kind of a backup guy, but I think I'd rather have the next two guys we're going to talk about.
Yeah, Jake McCarthy, I already hinted at because I picked him up, was still available in quite a number of leagues. So, hey, I jumped in, is going to Colorado, is playing with Alec Thomas on the bench. Now, they got some lefties coming up, but he played against a couple lefties last week. So, you know, they can't always take out both Peterson and McCarthy. And you know Peterson's 1,000% coming out against lefties. Will McCarthy always? Not necessarily. Sometimes they can go with Grichuk and Newman, which is what they did on Sunday with the lefty. But I like McCarthy, and I'm very interested in him. And he can give you like a reasonable facsimile of Luis Robert. We've seen it before. So he was a priority. I think he would be a priority for anybody that did lose Robert. I trust that you like Jake McCarthy a good bit as well.
Yeah, I actually picked him up the week before. Thanks to you, like, because you messaged me like, "Ooh, Alec Thomas just got hurt on Sunday," and I was like, "All right, Jake McCarthy, here we go." And I needed stolen bases in that league as well.
Perfect.
So,
perfect.
I think McCarthy is the guy that you go grab right now, especially if you need speed, because he should play regularly, and there's a ton of speed in that profile. And we've seen him just be a really, really valuable fantasy player in short spurts previously.
Absolutely. I like Jake McCarthy a good bit. And then we'll finish up with an in-house replacement. He's not going to fulfill that speed of Robert, but if you're looking maybe to replace the power, perhaps Gavin Sheets' time is upon us. The playing time should be there. And, you know, already has a homer. I love Gavin Sheets. There's been so many Lucy Charlie Brown kicking the football situations with him, but he's playing. And so what do we think of Gavin Sheets in the deeper formats? He was a decent pickup this week and still has some availability. Are you in on Gavin Sheets for the 5 billionth time?
Yeah, especially because in some leagues he's outfield and first base eligible. That's right. Which is always fun.
Including the main, which means he should be kind of everywhere, right? Because the main uses the standard 20 games. So then you really should be able to get him at first outfield everywhere for Gavin Sheets.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in the bat too. Like, and this is a guy who, if he's making consistent contact, like, he should be able to, you know, unlock, you know, 25 plus homers in a full season's worth of plate appearances. And right now he's going to play, like you said. Like, he may be on the strong side sometimes, but I think he's going to play fairly regularly in Chicago because they just don't have anybody else. I mean, I really, this is an awful team. Like, Like, I thought it was a bad team before, and now losing.
And they really showed Robert, you that it's like next level once Robert goes out.
So Robert and Eloy goes down like that.
Yeah.
Just disastrous. It is
brutal, but it creates some playing time opportunities. Let me throw in one other guy just because he's on that team as well and maybe could give you a little tinge of the speed too. Do you like Dom Fletcher at all? Never mind. He doesn't run that much, but do you like Dom Fletcher at all getting playing time?
Again, he's an accumulator. He's going to accumulate right now because I think he's going to play. So I think he's a short-term deeper league pickup, but like I'd rather Sheets.
Me too. I'd rather go for other guys. I thought he ran more. I thought he was more like his brother and ran more, but he doesn't really. So you're right. He's an accumulator, kind of boring. But anyway, sorry if he got hit by the carnage. Everyone will get theirs at some point.
You didn't mention the one guy left on the list. I just want to.
Oh, who's that? Quick. I'm sorry.
You had Bubba Thompson.
Oh, yeah, Thompson. God, I really wanted to bring him up bases. Too.
You want to know the crazy part is he has 4 plate appearances.
Oh my God. So he's coming in as like a pinch runner. So if you miss out on Terang, you know, he's not available in the deeper leagues anymore. And you're really chasing that speed. If that's the part that you're really going to miss from Robert, he could be the Rajay Davis remember Rajay Davis of old. We reference it a lot.
Gerard Dyson, Rajay Davis.
They would get 300 plate appearances, but 30 steals. And so you just have to commit to playing him too. You can't try to pick and choose because when you sit him, he's going to steal 3 bases in a part-time game where he comes in and steals 2 bases in one, then gets a plate appearances and steals one more time too. So if you go for Bubba Thompson, just put him in that fifth outfielder spot and let the steals come because they're going to come in spurts and they're going to come at weird ass times too. Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because I did want to mention him. Me too.
I'm not going to pick him up anywhere.
They're painful to the roster.
When I saw him on the rundown, I was like, oh, I got to go check like how many plate appearances he has. I knew a few of those stolen bases came off of like a pitch
that's
running.
Crazy.
Four stolen bases, 4 plate appearances, 7 games played, 4 plate appearances.
We got to get his stolen bases over his plate appearances. But yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't roster those guys. They don't fit my style and manage to your style.
It's so hard to figure out when those stolen bases are going to come. Like
that's what I'm saying. You have to just commit. And
we talk about Luis Arraez being a negative in other categories. He's literally a zero in all the other categories.
Yes. So you really have to have the right fit for Bubba Thompson. But if you want those steals, they could be out there for you. Yeah. All right, Justin, don't look directly at the sun during the eclipse.
I'm going to go get my glasses right now.
I got my glasses ready. I'm in Texas, so I've got a chance to get a decent view of it. Enjoy your chat, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Take it easy.